Go ahead and open your Bibles with me in Mark chapter 5. We're going to look at Mark chapter 5, verse 25 through 34. We're going to kick off with that, then we're going to jump around a little bit. So look at Mark chapter 5, verse 25 through 34. Let's all stand this morning to kind of stretch your legs a little bit in honor and read the Word of God, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get into the sermon real quick. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. It says, "A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and has suffered many things of many physicians and has spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came into the press behind and touched His garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And His disciples said unto Him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?' And He looked around about to see her and that had done these things. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. And He said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.'" Let's pray. Father, God, I thank You for Your goodness. You are, Lord God. You're a great God. And Lord, Father, all we had to let You do is just touch You and believe in You, Lord, and You'd healed her and to touch her, and then You fake lies, Lord God. And Lord, there's a statement in there, it really caught my attention, Lord, that You knew it was her before You even saw her, Lord, by Your physical eyes. God, I thank You, Lord, for that You saw us before the foundation of the world, Lord. You saw us who we are, and Lord, that You desire us to be saved, You desire us to come to You, Lord God. Then You're not done with us, Lord God. You desire us to grow and get closer to You, to tell others about what You have done in our lives. Now, Father, I pray this morning You challenge the hearts, Lord. Far as I know, Lord, everybody in this room is saved and they've trusted You as their personal Savior. But truth is, God, You know every one of us, Lord, if their name's written in the book of life or not, Father. God, if their name's not written in the book of life, I pray the Holy Spirit this morning convict the hearts and show them the need of salvation. But Lord, then Your ones are written, Lord, that we're saved by the blood. Lord, now, Father, I ask You to help us see the burden and see His souls to be saved around us, and people needs You, Father. And God, I pray this morning that You challenge our hearts, and You know each one of us. And I thank Miss Andrea, Lord, she's away from visiting her family. Lord, protect her. And I, Lord, I pray Brother Peterson, and Lord, they're about to leave. Help them, Father. I thank Brother Benny, God, and help him give the doctor's wisdom. But Father, meet with us this morning. May You receive honor and glory in everything we do. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. The title I start up the message is basically Direction of Faith Equals Peace. It's interesting how God put something in our heart. Faith is something just kind of bothering me, and I wish I had more faith, and I think faith is what's stopping a lot of us to do great and mighty things for God. I think faith is what we're struggling with in our lives and problems and issues, and because we don't have faith in God, we look at circumstances and events. And I don't know if you watched the news this week, and I don't know, and I don't care, you're a politician and all that, and I'm not here to politic anything, but listen to me, it bothered me so much, it really affected me, but the thing is, my God still sits on the throne, guys. Amen. And that's the most incredible. See, my faith has started looking at man, and I saw no faith, no hope. When I start looking in the book, I see that. There's truths everywhere you see it. We need faith. You know, the human race is divided into two classes of people in this world today, believers and unbelievers. You can call them faithful or unfaithful. Believers are characterized by faith, and we are to live by that faith. Romans 1, chapter 1, verse 17 says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith." Faith. You may be thinking that, you know, everything is kind of, life is depends on your job. Your job is there for one day, it's gone for the next. Listen, we are depending on our job, and then we're wasting our life. It's not our job. We're not trying to have to figure this all out. We don't have to reinvent the wheel in our lives, folks. God, listen, we've forgiven just part of you or my life to God. We're missing it. What I'm trying to say is that, listen, we have to know God, who He is. We don't have to figure those things out. We can know who He is and get a close around the Word of God. Listen, He still heals. He still provides. He still meets needs. This is the same God as the brothers prayed last night. This is the same God that had all the plagues of Egypt. And listen, He opened the Red Sea and they walked on dry ground. This is the same God that they walked across the Jordan River on dry ground. This is the same people that David defeated the Goliath. You know, this is the same God that listen brought fire from heaven and took the sacrifice. This is the same God. Amen. Our faith is really dependent on living on Him. He does still provide. Faith is the foundation or principle of our Christian life that operates our life, how we should live our life. Just as gasoline for the car or the wind for the windmill, the propeller for the ship, or hay for the horse. Listen to me, food for water for the body. It's important. Sleep is to the body is what faith is to life. Think about that. We need sleep. Y'all come on in. You're okay. We need to look at faith and see there's many examples. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and you find examples of faith everywhere. But at this point, I want to talk to you this morning about saving faith. Now look at Acts chapter 16. Now you can hold your place, mark it, whatever. We'll go back to Mark, but I want to go Acts chapter 16 real quick and verse 25. We're going to build some ideas here. Listen, there's nothing I'm going to preach to you, nothing new. This is going to be just a foundation because I want to kind of do this way. I want to know truth. If you don't want to know, get saved, this is how you get saved. Secondly, Christian, if you know this is simple truths, then it should motivate us and give us confidence and urgency to tell others what Christ has done for us. I mean, it really is simple. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. This is where Paul was put in the Philippian jailer. He was in jail. And this is where he kind of almost see today's situation. Here's a man that he sees a woman possessed with divinity spirits, and he cast it out, and he lost gain. Then he starts believing. He said it was exceeding trouble. He said, hey, he's troubled this city, and he tells about Paul. He's lying. Then he starts telling that he's not lawful is to receive such man because he observed, because of Romans. What he's doing. He's doing everything bad because he was losing money. He didn't care about the people. He didn't care about the woman. He just cared about himself, and he was bringing false accusation. So they whipped him. They put him in jail. And it says they thrust him in there. They just not just put him in nicely. They kicked him in, pushed him in, shackled him up because he's a vagabond, they felt like. In verse 25, it says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard him. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. That's amazing that the earthquake broke the shackles. Then it says, and the keeper of the prison, awakened out of his sleep and seeing the prison's doors open, he drew out his sword that he would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. You go back to Acts chapter 12, he wanted to do it because they're going to kill him anyway. So he says, better if I kill myself than let them kill me because they're going to be more harsh. Listen, then he goes on, and Paul cried out with a loud voice saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in. He rushed in impetuously. He came in trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out of it and said, sirs, powerful statement, sirs, they're prisoners. They thrust them in, and he sirs means master, someone of authority, of a respect. He humbled himself down to those prisoners. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now that's the question of all questions, isn't it? What must I do to be saved? What is man's responsibility in the matter of salvation? What is man's responsibility? Listen, the price has been paid. Listen, the price has been paid. It's infinite cost this infinite cost or limited cost of salvation has been provided for. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, I don't know if you put it up here. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 says, He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And it may amazing that the propitiation means the covering, the atonement. He covers our sins, and it's not for ours only, but for the whole world. It's limitless. He provides salvation for all. It ain't nothing I can do. Is what is man's responsibility? He provided the salvation. It's His. It's amazing. It goes, and He is the propitiation. It ain't He will be. He might be. He is the propitiation. He's the covering. That's amazing. It's a powerful statement. For ours only? No. For the whole world. Listen. He paid it. This Jesus Christ came from heaven to provide salvation. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, you can look on the behind me or follow along. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. And He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. Now, He was wounded, I mean, the idea, he was injured, He was beaten for our transgression, for our rebellion, He was bruised for iniquities, the chastisement, the punishment of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes, we are healed. Who was doing this? He was doing this. All we like sheep have gone astray. We all have gone away. No man seeketh after God. No man is doing good. No man desires God. All men are wicked. He goes, none. We all gone astray. We all turn everyone to his own way. We don't turn them to God. We turn them away from God. Listen, the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Listen, he purchased our pardon. He provided sins. He broke the dominion of sin. Listen, he took our sins. That's when the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. He is the only way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. God, listen, He provided salvation. He became sin for us who knew no sin. Listen, what is man's responsibility? He paid for it. He provided all. He paid for it. Listen, God the Father accepted His work and brought Him back home to glory. Acts chapter 2, verse 24 says, whom God has raised up and then loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible. It was not possible that He should be holding to it. Why? Because He's a Prince of Life. Because in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Him was life. Listen, He had the power to lay it down. He had the power to raise it up. He took the sin, and listen, it was impossible to hold it to Him because He is a righteous God. He paid it all. God accepted His work for His payment. Listen, Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 says this. When I saw Him, I fell at His feet. This is John in the book of Revelation. This is the John, the beloved, that laid his head on his bosom. This is when he saw Christ in the temple and he sees His vision. I fell at His feet as dead. And He laid at His right hand upon me and saying unto me, He says, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive evermore. Amen. I have the keys of hell and of death. Ain't it amazing God provides a way? He took our payment. He provided. He's ever living. He's always there. He provided for all. He purchased for all. He paid for it all. Listen, salvation is offered to all men. He offers salvation to all men. Isaiah 45, 22. Look unto me, and He says, be saved. Be ye saved, and all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else. It's amazing. He says, be you saved. I am. There's nobody else. There's no other name under heaven. He said, I'm the way and the truth and life. And there's, I think of the Psalms 120. Lift up my eyes in heavens, which cometh my help. My help coming from the Lord. Listen, He paid it all. Look unto me, He says. Come unto me. There's nowhere else to go. He says, no other God besides me. What is man's responsibility? He paid it all. He provided it all. Listen, faith. The direction of faith equals peace, guys. It really directs us. But what is the terms? In Acts chapter 16, verse 30, he says, he came out and says, sirs, what must I be to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved. What does it mean to believe? It means to put whole confidence in Him. This is put our trust in a personal Savior. It's that song says, I am trusting in Thee, Lord Jesus. Trusting only Thee. Trusting Thee for full of salvation, great and free. Trust in Him. Faith in Christ as Savior involves three simple steps. And that was my introduction. Simple. Why is it? Because it's no man's responsibility for it. It's God's responsibility to pay for the salvation of mankind. What is man's responsibility? Is to call upon Him. To trust Him. Depend upon Him. And let me prove the point I'm trying to make at Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God. The first step is hearing, folks. Before I can believe, I must hear the gospel. This is someone must tell me for me to hear truth. Someone's got to tell me. How could the people in Africa, or how could people next door to you know how to call upon the Lord, know the truth as no one tells them the truth? This, I must hear that He died for me. I must understand that, listen, as the Ethiopian said, he's reading the Word of God, but how can he understand unless somebody guide me? That's what Brother Jack was doing. All Jack was doing is trying to guide him. He was bringing the strongholds down. He was trying to be wise with Scripture, help him see truth, and bring him overcome this mountain or this wall he had, and explains to him the way to be saved. That's all we can do. I must hear what Christ did. I must hear that He bared my sins in His own body, as we spoke of. I must hear that He bared His sin. He became sin for me. Listen, He became that prostitute. He became that drunkard, that drug addict. That He became all the vile and wicked sin on that cross for you and me. Listen, I must hear that the works are not sufficient in my ability. It's but Him. Romans chapter 3, verse 20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. How much? No flesh be justified in His sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin. That's all it does. It reveals truth so you know where you stand before Almighty God. But the first step, they got to hear it. The first step, they got to grab those truths. And listen, I must be here so I can meet the Holy Spirit of God can convict me. You know, listen, I knew that Jesus Christ was on the cross because I've heard truth. And when that preacher preaching, I saw it talking about in Sunday school where it really convicted me. And I don't know if I was holding on the thing in front of you, the seat thing, the pews. But in my mind, I was holding on what I can to hide from it because I was fearful. Why? I must have loved my sin more than my Savior. Listen, nothing I could do, and it was just conviction to be saved. And listen, the Spirit of God was convicting because I knew the truth. Jesus Christ was the only way and the truth and life. Listen, God draws me. No man comes to the Father, God draws me. He convicts. How can they believe in whom they don't hear? How can your neighbors believe if they don't hear? How can the people in Zachary believe if they don't hear? He said, well, the other churches tell them. Are they really telling the truth? Are they telling about Christ? They're telling about good things. But all they telling them is the blood of Christ. Is Jesus the only way? Are they really saying, you got to repent? It ain't just saying this little simple prayer, save me and I can go live like what I want to live. There's a change in heart. I really worry about people bowing their head and say, Lord, save me, and they never come to this church. It bothers me. And I tell you this, I'm just this type of preacher. I'll go to their door and point at them and say, forget your salvation. It never happened. You say, preacher, you can't take their salvation. You're right. But if they think they're saved because I said that prayer with them, that's the part I don't want them to believe. Because it's only God that can save. But they think they said a prayer and live like hell, live like the sin of the world. There's a problem. There's not a repentant heart. Listen, they got to hear that what He did. And what they were, and are, and is, whatever the right English prompt, I don't care this morning. Listen, you got to grasp it. What bothers me is that we know these truths. Does it burn our hearts to go tell somebody? First step, they got to hear, but second step, they got to believe. They have to hear who He is, and He is able to do what He said He's going to do. They must believe it. Listen, they have to have confidence, got to have trust in Him. Listen, but what they hear. There's people who will tell you and say, listen, I'm okay. And you say, well, how do you know I'm okay? I'm a good person. I'm okay. I got a good job. I'm okay. I believe in God. I know He died. The devil believes and trembles because they don't understand. Listen to who he is. Listen, there's a point. They said, "What man can be saved? What must I do?" You must hear the truth. But you must believe what he did and why he died on the cross. Isaiah 53 verse 5, he said, "But he was wounded for our transgression and was bruised for iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him." Listen, with his stripes we are healed. You know, it's amazing. Listen, the Bible says, without faith it's impossible to believe him, but I must believe that who he is. I must believe that he is God and he's the only way. That's where it says in Ephesians, it says 3:20, it says, "Now he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." You think about it, I think of that verse, "I have not seen, ear heard, what God has prepared for me." You know what, the thing is, this verse tells me that God has been able to do things like what I can think or imagine he can do beyond those things. He can save the wicked, vilest man in the world you can imagine. Because he paid that sin debt. Faith is really involves three simple steps. One is going to hear. The second is to believe. Listen, believe he's able to save. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth and to make intercession for him." Jude 1, verse 24, it says, "Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of glory and with exceeding joy." Listen, believe that he's able to do it. He's a great God. And all a man has to do is say, believe on this, trust him, put your confidence in him. Believe what he did. He paid the sin debt. Believe his word. Jesus says, Matthew 28, verse 18, "All power is given me from heaven and earth." He has all power. He's God. He's omniscient God. He knows everything. He's all omnipotent God. He's all powerful. He's a great God. There's nothing he don't know, he can't do. Where you're at, he sees you. He sees you, your vileness and the wickedness and deceitfulness. He sees it. And how are you going to hide that from God? He said, be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting, the Prince of Peace. That's who he is. You must believe that. The third step is simple, is you must trust him. You notice, again, direction of faith equals peace. I must hear, but I must believe, but then I must trust. I will put my faith into action. I will place my confidence completely in him. There's a repentance. There's a desire to change, a turning from the sin, and because I want to. You know, this is a desire. That little girl, Katie, she got saved. I don't know, when did she get saved, sister? What, 2005?
When she was 5 years
old. And how old is she now? 7 years old, 5 year old little girl finally worked in her mind, understanding. But there's a change in her life because she sees a need and she wants to obey. And she was afraid. She was afraid. How many are you afraid to go soul winning? How many are you afraid to do things for God? She was afraid. But she was willing to get baptized and get in that water and be dunked into that place. She did it because she wants to. It's a sign of a change of hearts. I wanted to obey. Joseph said, "I want to get baptized." I said, "Well, I got to make sure it gets warm." He said, "I don't care if it's cold." You see the change of heart. Not because of you, but for him. Listen, therefore he may be in Christ. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Something, there's a change within you. Because you heard. Then you started believing the truth and then you started trusting that truth. Listen, he came down on his knees and I'll get to the point of this. But he says, "Sirs," he looked into the prisoners that were beaten and bloody and chained was all falling. Now they were chained. "Sirs," lifted them up. "What must I do? What do you got? I want it." And you got God liveth within you. Are you closing it up? Listen to me. Trust excludes all human efforts. That means trust rules out all human efforts. Trust removes all consideration of human efforts. It's all God. Go with me back to Matthew chapter 5 again. We're going to look at some illustration points. Just to kick this horse a little bit more. With some illustration of saving faith, Matthew chapter 5, verse 24. We see this woman that she had issue of blood for 12 years, and she suffered many things and many physicians. She spent all that she had. How many of you ever remember being in sin and your life is miserable and it's just pain and heavy, and you try and do everything? You maybe drank the bottles and you smoked and maybe did some drugs, maybe whatever it is. You try to find that peace, but it never helped. It just spent all you got. That's what they're doing. Saturday night honky-tonk bars is spending all they got, boys and girls home with no food or no shoes or no nothing. Listen, because he's trying to find that peace. That addict wants one more hit, one more needle, one more pill. She spent all that she had. Listen, she heard. Somebody told her. Listen, somebody told her what happened. Verse 27, when she heard of Jesus, she came in to press behind it. She moved her. That's the idea of repentance. It moves. It's a change. I got to have that. She didn't sit back and say, well, if he could do it, he'll come and help me. If not, who cares? There was a desire and change in her heart. Listen, she heard the truth because she believed that she moved her. In verse 28, and it says, and she said, if I touched his clothes, I shall be whole. She believed, if I just touch his clothes. What faith? If I just touch the clothes, I'll be healed. Imagine what God could do to you if you just believe what God would say he would do. Imagine you believe Luke 6:38. Imagine what God could do with you. And she touched him. She reached out. She pressed. Verse 27, she heard that Jesus, and she pressed behind and touched his garment. She actually touched. He trusted and said, if I may touch but his clothes, I'll be whole. Listen, she trusted and she did it. In verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She knew it. Look at me, Acts chapter 8, verse 29. Acts chapter 8, verse 29. Here's talking about the Ethiopian. The Bible says, then the Spirit came unto the Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Here's a soul winner. Here's a man that he's heard truth. God's changed his life. All he wants, he has a message. He just want to tell the message what God has him to do. So he goes near and joins himself to it. He has no idea what's taking place. He just like goes to a door and says, I'll knock at that door. What's at that door? I don't know. But God said, go, I'll go. And Philip ran thither to him. He didn't walk. He was active. He did obedience. Listen, he heard. Listen, he heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he said, and he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. In the place of the scripture, which he read earlier with Isaiah, it says he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. And his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, I'm asking thee, of whom speaketh of the prophet this? Of himself? Or some other man. And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, preached unto him Jesus. Listen, he heard about it. He went to Jerusalem to listen to the worship, and as he was reading the Word of God, he was hearing the Word of God. He was hearing truth. Without faith, it's impossible. But faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Listen, the Word of God, it was brought by a soul winner to help guide him and teach him. But verse 36, and he said, he went on their way and they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Listen, he believed, he was relying on the Word of God. Philip must have told him about baptism. Philip must have told him he died on the cross. Philip must have told him what he did. Now listen, he was relying on the Word of God and his hopes on Jesus Christ. He paid for his sins. What hinders me? I want to get baptized. Listen, he was believing. In verse 37, Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Listen, this amazing this. He didn't say this with words. And he commanded the chariots to stand still. Listen, whose chariots is this? His. His chariots. Stop these chariots. I want to get baptized. And they come, and listen, where am I at? He commanded the chariots to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Listen, he trusted the Savior. This faith went to action. He got to hear. How can they hear if somebody don't tell them? But how can they believe if they don't hear? How can they trust if they don't believe? I mean, I'm messing that up, didn't I? Man's responsibility is listen to go tell. It's God's responsibility to pay the price and provide the means of salvation. Look at me, Acts 16. We'll go look at another example here. Acts chapter 16, verse 30. The Philippian jailer, remember he says, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And in verse 31, he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." You know, he heard. He was hearing something. He heard maybe the streets, and he'd heard of what this Paul and Silas was doing. But he was hearing, and listen, all the trials and stress of life, they were singing and praising God, did not stop them talking about Christ, did not stop them praising God. Doesn't matter how long the hours at job, didn't matter how long they had a word, didn't matter how tough a life, they went on and went on and went on and went on. So somebody could hear. They show that they believe in the Lord of truth because were they apparent? Because this man says, "Sir, what must I be to save?" He believed. He confessed and changed his life, and he trusted him. Trusted him. Let me prove that. Look at this. This is amazing. And he spake unto him the word of the Lord. And to all that, he said, let me go back. He says, "Thou shalt be saved in thy house," verse 31. Verse 32, "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hours of the night," same hour of the night, "and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And we had brought them into his house," same night, same place, "he set meat before them, rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." Changed lives in his whole home. He was an honor to bring them, that soul winner, to his home. He risked, I don't know what he is risking. I don't know what it is today. Today it ain't good to take a man out of jail. I wouldn't do it. But he did. Washed him. He believed that, you know, he listened, they confessed, they trusted him. The whole life, everybody accepted Christ. John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him." Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, accept him as God's gift. This gift of God that provided salvation. "Verily, verily, I said to him, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and this, and shall not pass, it shall be passed from the condemned." Oh, my goodness. "He that," what is it, "hear the word and believe in him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall be passed from condemnation of the world." Listen to me. You believe on Christ, you come. Listen, Bible, John 6:37 says, "All the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out." To believe on the Lord is to have fellowship with him. John 7:37 said, "In the last days there were great day of the feast. Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Romans 3:20 says, "Beloved, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me." You know, this believing really want a time of fellowship, time of getting along with God. Believing the Lord Jesus Christ wants me to read my Bible. Believe the Lord Jesus Christ wants me to obey the Word of God. Believe the Lord Jesus Christ wants me to pray. Believing the Lord Jesus Christ wants me to change my life to be obedient. Lord Jesus Christ wants me to do this, I'll do it. I believe because I want to, because I love him. You see, it goes into action, doesn't it? To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you say, Lord, I believe, I call upon you. I'm not ashamed of it. I will confess. You want me to get saved? I mean, you get baptized? I'll get baptized. You be joined a church? I'll get joined a church. You see the change. There's a trust in action. This word mouth is nothing. It comes out of the heart. And that coming out of the heart, there's a change. There's arguments of saying that when a man stood out of his pew and he walked down, he was saved. It doesn't matter. The matter is, he put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, but you see the action reveals to us he trusted him. Have you heard? Have you believed? Have you trusted? Are you willing to go tell anyone or somebody what he's done for you? Are you willing? How can they hear without a preacher? How can they hear without you telling them? How can they believe if they don't hear? And how can they trust without you going and telling? How can they? The question it really is to this morning is this: will you be the one? Will you be the one this morning and say, Lord, I'll trust you as my personal savior. I don't care what nobody thinks. I'm going to trust you, and Lord, save me. I got to get this peace. I got to get make sure my name is written in the book of life, that I have a home in heaven. I don't care what the religion says. I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm trusting what you did. You shed your precious holy blood. You died. You raised again. I believed it, God. And you say, if I call upon you, I'm trusting. Lord, I'm coming today. I'm going to be that one to trust you, Lord. Here am I. Will you be the one to go and say, tell someone what he did for you? Will you be the one to go tell what great things the Lord has done for you? Or will you be the one that joins the secret service and hide it? Will you be that one? You're going to be one of somebody. Let's be the one that tells. Faith, listen, our faith promise and all that's focused on souls, isn't it? Souls of men, that men are willing to go and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. I can't go to wherever that place is. Thailand. I can't go to Armenia. I can't go to Ecuador. I can't go to Japan. I can't go to Uganda. I can't go to Israel. I can't go to Spain, Finland, and Sweden. I can't go there. But God, you send me somebody, I'll help support. Will you be the one? You say, Lord, I'm not sure if I'm saved. Will you be the one this morning and say, you know what, Lord Jesus Christ? My sin was placed on your body because of my wickedness. I'm trusting you. You say, if you call, I call upon you, save me, Lord. I'll be the one. Please save me. The question's up to you. Which one you're going to be this morning? Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. If you would, this morning, just hold off the piano. I'll ask you this simple question again, and then I'm just going to open the altar off, and you come. I don't want the piano play this morning. I just want people to make response. If you don't want to respond, don't respond. Nate, I'm asking you, you respond to God, though. If you need to get saved, say, preacher, I need to get saved. Every head's bowed, please. Every eye's bowed. And this is for you, between you and God. You come.